morning, Bridge City Church, North Braddock. How y'all doing today? You excited about Jesus today? I am. Hey, my name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself, this is me. I am not Pastor John Schaefer, who's away with his family on a much-deserved vacation, and he's at the beach, so I'm a little envious right now. Okay, I'm a little jealous, but I'm believing God for a great week for him and a great time. Blue skies, sunshine, and I always tell him, turn or burn when you're at the beach. Turn or burn. Do not burn when you're at the beach. Come on, somebody. But I get the joy and privilege today to communicate with you about the Holy Spirit. And I am really, really excited about the Holy Spirit. When I met Jesus in a very real way, Jesus forgave me of my past, and I asked him to lead me into my future, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm a charismatic at heart. I don't know if this freaks you out or not, but I speak in tongues every day of my life. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying for guidance. I'm praying to build myself up on my most holy faith. I believe in that. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all can say amen? How many of y'all can say, I'm not sure, but I'm trying? Come on. That's okay. You're in the right place, okay? You're in the right place to try to figure this whole Holy Spirit deal out. You know, if we're trying to figure out the Holy Spirit, we're in good company, because most of the New Testament from Acts chapter 2 all through the book of Acts, in Corinthians and some other places, they were trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit really was all about and who he really was. And they were trying to figure it out. So if you're trying to figure out who the Holy Spirit is, you're right with them in the book of Acts and all through the New Testament, because they were confused just as well. But I want to speak to a few people here today of this. That it's easy in Christianity, and we come to church, and we come almost for a quick fix. We want to come. It's okay, we're going to give you about 75, occasionally 90 minutes, and God, fix all my problems in this amount of time, make them all better, and help me have a better week. Amen. How many of y'all have ever been frustrated with that one? Yeah, and I want to speak to those of you that are frustrated because maybe the manifestation of the Holy Spirit has only been limited to Sunday mornings. And what we have done unknowingly over time, we have created churchianity, which has replaced Christianity. And it's so easy that we get focused on church to do everything that we forget what God wants to produce and what does a manifestation of the Holy Spirit really look like in our lives. And how do we get that? Now, how many of y'all enjoy summer? How many of y'all really like, because it's like produce time in the Northeast? Come on. Come on, you're not afraid to go buy tomatoes and apples and everything else, am I right? Yeah, now I liken it to this. You can get fresh produce one of two ways. You can go to Aldi or Giant Eagle or get really fancy and go to the farmer's market, okay? And you can go there and you can purchase it, right? You give something, you get an exchange, you take it home. But how many of y'all know that the best produce is the stuff you grow at home? But how many of y'all know it takes a lot of work? I mean, when Natalie and I first got married, she's 100% Italian, and she did her best to make me as much Italian as I can get. I mean, I remember the first couple summers, she said, we're having a garden. And I said, can't we just go to the store? Come on. And she's still trying to put an O at the end of my name. She would rather be Paladino, okay? So today, I'm Paladino today, but it's really Paladin, just for the record here. But she did her best to try to get me to have gardens. And we still do. Typically, most summers, we have a garden we produce. But you know what I learned? It's a lot more work to produce something at home. It really is. And it's a lot more work. And I'd rather just go to the store and buy it. This is just what we do in Christianity. It's a lot easier to go to church, put a few dollars in the basket, smile, pretend like everything's okay, and try to take something home rather than produce it with God in our lives. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? And how do we get some of that fruit? How do we do this? And I think we got to change our mindset from churchianity to Christianity here, because most people that encounter great people like you and me, I said great people like you and me, they don't have a problem with Jesus. They have a problem with the Jesus you and I portray. Most people, they'll say, yeah, I love Jesus. It's just all his people I have a problem with. And it's because of what we're producing in our lives. See, the fruit of the Spirit tells us, whatever follows your life tells you if you're getting your Christianity right. Amen. Whatever is produced from your life is telling you, are you getting Jesus right here? You see, I have, in my own life, I would say as a Christian follower of Christ, it's been rough over years. I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of anger I've had to deal with. I don't know if you know this or not, but I am really good at sarcasm. As a matter of fact, if there was an award for it, I would get the award. Just ask my wife. But I'm so happy that it's something I used to be. I'm not that now. I used to get very upset at losing. I hate to lose. And if I would win at any cost, even if it cost me my Christianity and witness. I'm being honest with you. But I had to learn that that was not the behavior that God has created for my life. I still hate to lose, but my prayer, maybe I'm getting older. When I go play tennis, I have a tennis match tomorrow, and on my way, I don't pray to win and lose anymore. I just pray not to get hurt. Oh my God, let me walk home. Like, let me be able to get out of the car. How many of y'all can relate to that? I'm like, and God, let my integrity be more important than my forehand or backhand. You see, my prayer has changed. What I'm trying to say is this. Most of us in this room right now, we're frustrated because we're trying to live out of our personality rather than our spirituality. Amen. We're trying to make our personalities better. And I don't know if you know this or not, your personality is about as good as it's going to get. But spiritually, we can change. Amen. Yeah? We can change and God can transform us. Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you and I, how many children of God do we have here today? Okay, so as many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's God's plan for you. Jesus said in Matthew, in 7, verse 16, he says, you shall identify them by their bumper stickers. You shall identify them by their t-shirts. You shall identify them by their tattoos. By their church attendance, by their Bible knowledge. No, he said, you shall know them. And we will be identified by the fruit that's in our lives, the way we act. Amen. By the way I act on a daily basis, not just here. Because how many of y'all know you can come to church and fake it? Amen. How many of you have done it in the past? Not now, right? Not now. But how many of you have done it? You come, you smile, you pretend like everything's okay. How are you doing? Good. Right? All that means is you didn't flip anybody off on the way to church. That's all that means. You made it from home to here. That's all that means right there. How many of y'all want to be doing better than good? Come on. Yeah, so we're going to be identified by our fruit. Here's something you can, if you want to put something on a t-shirt or get a tattoo. Here's a good one here. Time will tell and fruit don't lie. Come on, there it is. How many of y'all, like, see, like I tell people, time will tell and fruit don't lie. Time's going to tell who you really are, and fruit don't lie. Who you really are, it's going to show. Truth will prevail. It's going to come out of you. Who you really are, it's going to come out of you, whether you like it or not. So there it is. So how do we get Holy Spirit fruit? We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, this is going to be our text today. Galatians 5. Now, Galatians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to what we would consider modern-day Turkey. And it was a letter that he wrote. And it's actually the only letter that the Apostle Paul wrote that was to a group of churches, not just to one specific one. So it was a group. It was a big region that he wrote this letter to. Just very interesting. And what was the problem was they met Jesus in modern-day Turkey, and they were trying to be followers of Jesus just like you and me, right? And the problem was that people that were into Judaism came into the church and they were saying, well, I know you met Jesus, but there's a lot of rules that you need to follow. Like, let me give you one of them. When guys met Jesus and when men met Jesus, they would say, okay, now that you met Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, right? And they would say, yeah, okay, now you need to get circumcised. And men stopped going to church. That's what happened. I'm just being honest with you. No, this is literally what happened. Read the book of Galatians. This is what was happening. And they were putting all these rules on people. They were putting rules and more rules and more rules. And this is the problem with our relationship with God. We turn it into rules rather than relationship. Now, rules are important. How many of you have raised kids? How many of you think it's important that kids do not run out into traffic? Anybody here? Okay. Thank you for one hand. The rest of you are like, let them go. Yeah, they'll learn. You only do it once. I mean, come on. Like, who are you? Like, don't touch a hot stove and don't punch grandma. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all know those are good rules? Right? Come on. How many of you know kids need those rules? They need to know rules. And so what I'm trying to say is we all need rules that lead us and guide us. But it's not so that we're always driven by rules. It's so that we can get to relationships. If you are telling a 25-year-old it's not okay to hit grandma, there's a problem. That's what local authorities are for. No, if they're still running out into traffic, it's a problem. Actually, a lot less age than 25. Come on. No, but see, what I'm saying is rules help us get to the place where internally we learn how to obey and behave. That's what God does. So occasionally we need a rule. Like when you first meet Jesus, it's like, get out of bed and get to church. You know, you can say that to men like that. You know, ladies, it's like, hey, guys, get up. You go to work every day. You can go to church on Sunday. No, see, are you tracking me here? And so what I'm trying to say, so they were struggling with this whole, like, rules and Judaism and Christianity, and how do we do this here? And so here we go, Galatians 5:16. And so the Apostle Paul's writing here, 4.5 chapters, and he says, I told you all that. And so I say, I'm going to read it to you how I read it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's how I read that. That's how I just picture the Apostle Paul, like, let the Holy Spirit guide you. There's so much more of the Holy Spirit for you. Yeah, and then you won't be doing the stuff your sinful nature craves. How many of you know that even though you got born again, you met Jesus, you have a sinful nature that craves bad stuff? Amen. Anybody here honest? Yeah, I'm telling you, I got behind somebody the other day, and they irritated the heaven out of me. I'm telling you, they stopped at every green light. And I'll be honest, my first inclination was not to pray. It frustrated me. And then I realized that I was going to be preaching this message on Sunday, and suddenly I got holy. And I said, bless them, Lord. They're probably just, you know, a little confused. Let's keep them safe, you know. Okay, then you won't be doing stuff your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil and what's opposite of what the Spirit wants. There's this clash inside of you and me here. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against one another. How many of you can relate to this? The Apostle Paul is writing to you and me. There's stuff I don't want to do that I end up doing. There's stuff I want to do I can't do. Are you with me here? But he's saying, don't get under this law of Moses. Like, okay, there's a spirit of grace and help for you. Let's look at the next verses here. Verse 19 here. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. It's really clear you're following your sinful nature. Sexual immorality. No, nobody says that anymore. Nobody says, well, is there really such... I had people tell me this all the time. Is there really... Is sexual immorality still a thing? It's still a thing. Okay? It really is. And lustful pleasures and impurity and idolatry and sorcery and hostility and quarreling and jealousy and outburst of anger and selfish ambition and dissension and division and envy. It's just like, could you have any more? I mean, you have to put gluttony here too, you know? And drunkenness and wild parties and sins like these. Let me tell you this. This is what the Apostle Paul says. When you're doing this, it's pretty clear you're not following after God. The Holy Spirit is not being manifest in your life because you're living like this. Am I right? Is that what he said or not? He says, it's pretty clear. Hello? The Apostle Paul is just saying, like, it really, really is here. And he says, anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, stop. Pause. What does it mean to inherit the kingdom of God? Because most people in this room, what you just heard me say is, if you do any of those things, you're not going to heaven. Most people interpret it that way. That's not what this verse says. It says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is what you experience when you're experiencing God's best in your life. Amen. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. Have you ever seen Lion King? If you haven't, go home and watch it. It's a spiritual movie. When you're in the right kingdom, things are good. If you go mess around with hyenas, it's not good. Some of you will Google that later, okay? You'll Google it later and you'll catch up with me. Okay? But that's, see, what I'm trying to say is this. How many of y'all want God's best for your life? Anybody here? How many of y'all believe God has more for you than what you're experiencing right now? Okay, see, what he's saying is, look at the evidence of your life. When you have this stuff in your life, dissension, quarreling, rage, anger, all these things. Well, I don't have rage. I just have passion. No, that word rage literally means passion out of control. So what you have is passion out of control. Congratulations. You're just trying to put a bow on it. That's all you're trying to do. So he's, but you're not experiencing God's best. God's best for your life is in his kingdom where he rules, he reigns, and he has even control over you by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you tracking me? Okay? So we clearly identified all these things in our life that is the wrong. We're inheriting the wrong things. Now, how many of y'all could use some good news? How many of you are tired of looking at all the stuff there? Yeah, you don't. How many of y'all good there? You need me to go into any more depth? No. Okay, let's get to the good stuff. Okay, let's read on. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our plural lives. Fruit, singular. Our lives, plural. It's interesting. When the Apostle Paul said there's all these fruits, plural, of your natural carnal nature, there's plural, singular, is there's one fruit. And it comes out in many, many different ways. How many of y'all like bananas? Man, I thought I'd get a better response. I'm kind of killing my illustration here. Well, bananas, you can eat a banana, right? How many of y'all like bananas with peanut butter? How many of y'all like them with chocolate? Banana pudding. Yeah, seriously, there's all these different ways you get banana bread. With lots of chocolate and sugar. Come on, yeah. Yeah, but it's one fruit, but it comes out in many different ways. Okay, there's different ways that it's there here. Okay, so it produces this kind of fruit. Here it is, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If you could go back, I'm sorry, I'm going real fast. Thank you so much. I know I'm racing here. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and there's no law against these things. How many of y'all could use a little more of these in your life? How many of you are sitting beside somebody who really needs some of these? How many are sitting like, I know some of you, don't look at them. Look at me. Yeah. I'm just warning you, if you look over, they may be looking back at you. Yeah. Come on. Now, let me just tell you this. I can't teach you how to get fruit in your life. I can't teach you get fruit, because this is what we do in church. I've been guilty of this as a pastor. Come on, get more love and joy in your life. What's your problem? Come on. I mean, if you're at a men's meeting, you got like, you smack one another and say, come on, some self-control, you person. Are you with me? See, but like, this is what we do. We just say, come on, dude, come on, more gentleness, more goodness, more kindness. And that's what we do. We yell to produce something, and you can't produce it because you don't have the seed to produce that. See, if you want good tomatoes, you got to get good tomato seeds. And then you got to put it in good soil. And then you got to water it. And you got to weed it. And you got to protect it. Okay? Then you got to keep your neighbors from the deer from eating it. Are you with me? Yeah, see, but what I'm trying to say is I can't tell you just produce fruit. No, but I can tell you how to get to the fruit. But you got to make a decision. Are you going to just come to church and take some fruit from other people? Or are you going to be somebody who can manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God's asking us to do. That's what he's saying here. See, most of us in the room right now, we have imitation fruit slices. We have that imitation. It says fruit, but there's no fruit in there. A lot of sugar. Come on. I like that. But how many of y'all know it doesn't help you? It just helps the dentist. Okay? Because you get all sugar on your teeth, and then you get more. And we say we're eating fruit, but there's no fruit in there. Okay, so let's take a look at this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The first three here deal with our attitude towards God. Love, joy, and peace. These have everything to do with your attitude towards God, not your circumstances. As a matter of fact, we only know if you have fruit of the Spirit is when you go through suffering, you go through bad times, you go through pain, but you still have love, joy, and peace. Love is the foundation of them all. Love is the foundation from God. It's the foundation of who he is. And the more that a generous, loving God lives inside of me, the more generous and loving I become. Amen. Because left to myself, I'm not a loving person. Do you know who I really, really like? Me. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm just up here being honest enough to tell you. I like my ideas. I don't think I've ever had a bad one. And I like what I like, and I like how I like it. I'm just like you. But when the love of God comes into my life, it begins to change me from the inside out. The way I act loving is an expression of that. So really, all nine of these are based on this first one, love. But let's look at joy. What is joy? Joy has nothing to do with your circumstance. It has everything to do about what's on the inside of you. Trials and tribulations. How many of y'all can relate to that? Yeah, trials and tribulations happen to everybody. But can we be joyful through that? Can we have peace in the midst of uncertainty? Now, if you don't catch anything else I'm giving you today, I want you to catch what I'm about to give to you, because it's something that I've seen in Christians, and it's running a lot in Christianity, in churches right now. And even people, you know, great, good-hearted people who love God. And they're going through this thing right now where I don't know the future. And it's stealing and robbing them of all joy and peace. I'm trying to help you, right? I really, really am. Do you have peace and joy? When you don't know about your employment, or you don't know where you're going to be employed, maybe something's happening at work, or you're out of work, or you're not sure how God's going to provide for you. How about financially? It's unstable right now. How about relationally? I'm not in a relationship, or you're in a relationship that's needing some work. And it's uncertain. Or so physically, maybe a diagnosis, maybe something's going on and you don't know what's going to happen to you physically, or maybe something going on and you don't have certainty. See, it's these times that reveal, do we have a trust relationship with God, and can we still have love, joy, and peace in the midst of very difficult circumstances? I want that to sink in, because I'm watching people right now, because our culture is changing so rapidly. Am I right? Everything's changing. There's nothing that's certain. There's nothing that's like concrete right now. There's not a job that's concrete. There's not a financial situation that's concrete. There's nothing. And so we're just left with me working harder, me doing more. And it's eroding our confidence with God. Am I helping you today? See, the more I see him and the more I experience God, the more joyful I am in the midst of circumstances that are not really good. Amen. And can I still have joy, and can I still have peace, and can I still have my attitude towards God in a trust relationship? That, my friends, is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we limit manifestations of the Holy Spirit to just what, you know, maybe church or prophecy or words of wisdom and words of knowledge and miracles, which I am all for all of those. They are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But how about a real manifestation is in you and me? Amen. Come on. How about let's forget world peace. Let's just imagine you using your turn signals. Come on, somebody. Let's just imagine it for a moment. Okay? What I'm trying to say is it's a manifestation every day of the week. And God can manifest his Holy Spirit in your life. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. God has so much more for you, and you're living out of your personality, out of your circumstances, and we're depending on a spouse or a job or a boss or a financial thing because we're trying to achieve joy and peace rather than produce joy and peace and love. And joy, peace, and love can be produced, but it's gonna take some work. Are y'all with me there? Good deal. Okay, let's look at the next three here. The next three here are patience, which really translates out long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering are one on there. Then kindness and goodness. So patience, long-suffering, it's the same word. And then kindness and goodness. Now, these three have to do with your relationships with others. So when people talk about you, do they use the word, wow, they are really patient. They are really kind. They practice goodness. Or have you just said, well, I just have a short fuse. I'm Irish, or I'm Italian, or I'm German. Have you noticed everybody has a short fuse? No, I'm serious. I'm older. I lost my filter. I'm younger. I can say whatever I want. It's like, it doesn't matter. Whatever happened to the fruit of the Spirit that's bigger than your nationality? Write that down. That was good. Are you with me here? See, so this long-suffering, it's having joy and peace with people that are opposing you. So when somebody is opposing you or your ideology or your wisdom, do you have patience and long-suffering with them? See, most of us don't mind being patient with people just like us, and as long as they're agreeing with us. But how about people that oppose you? People who are diametrically completely against you, do you still have patience with those people? Do you have long suffering? What this really means, this patience means, you can exercise revenge, but you don't. Amen. That means you can, and I have a right to, but I'm not going to because I am trusting God for this relationship. Yeah. Yeah, kindness, the ability to act for the welfare of others that are taxing your patience. Come on, you said it. You're getting on my very last nerve. Okay, we all think it. You're on my last nerve. You know, we all say it. And goodness, it's just being and doing what's good. This is our relationship to others. See, what I'm trying to say is this is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at the next three here. These are good ones. You want to get these three. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Faith is a gift from God. Faithfulness is your gift back to God. Amen. Faithfulness is you saying back to God, you can trust me. See, when you become faithful at work and you show up on time and you work hard and you do what you're supposed to do and you listen with a good attitude, and that's faithful. Oh, I just thought faithful was just showing up at church. No. Faithfulness is so much more than that. It's God, you can trust me with more. Amen. See, many of us want more from God, but we don't want to produce faithfulness in our lives. We got to produce. We got to be willing to produce faithfulness. That's God. He got your number. Gentleness. Gentleness. What is gentleness? It means meekness, which means you have a teachable spirit. You're a teachable heart here. You don't have pride or superiority. But let me tell you this. Gentleness is not passiveness. Amen. No. Gentleness is knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Well, it seems like to be a Christian, you just got to be a doormat, and everybody can just walk all over you, and people can do whatever they want. No, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit tells you when to speak and when not to speak. Amen. And the Spirit probably needs to help you when not to speak more than when to speak. Amen. Just a thought. Am I right? Okay. I mean, I'm talking about me. I had to learn how when not to speak. This is me. I'm revealing me. But God taught me that because I asked him to teach me. And I ask for the Holy Spirit help. And I ask for other men in my life to help me. Help me learn this because I'm not good at this. And I know that I'm supposed to manifest this, but I'm not. Help me. This last one here is really good, self-control. It operates for the good of others, not me. See, when you have self-control, you're doing what's good for the other person, not for what's good for you. When you got self-control, listen, I'm going to stop my tongue when I have a comment. When you have self-control, you're going to stop the social media post before you send it. Now, immediately, you thought of somebody else. Because that's what we all do. Yeah, there's some people that need Christianity. They need the fruit of the Spirit. No, you. You know, I'm telling you. No, see, that's what self-control is. And people tell me, I just can't help it. I says, yes, you can. You can help yourself. You have self-control. You can do self-control. With the Holy Spirit help. Holy Spirit, I need help with self-control. I need to stop speaking. I need to listen. Amen. These nine things, love, joy, peace, come on, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Come on, all of these things, self-control, meek, gentle, meek. Come on, this is available. This is God saying, I got so much more for you. Now, how many of y'all are convinced you need more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Amen. How many of y'all, I'm being honest, how many of y'all say, yeah, I could use a little more. Okay, I want to help you now get the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I mean, I'm being really, really honest with you. And that is this. John 15, 4. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. These are the words of Jesus. He says, you can't live unless you abide, if you continue, if you dwell, unless you remain. And we sang that beautiful song this morning. Oh my goodness, I just want you, God. Oh my goodness, we're going to sing it again. In a couple minutes, you're going to get a twofer. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do anything. And I want to tell you that God has much fruit for you. God has a much fruit life for you. This is not as good as it gets. Because if it is, we're getting ripped off. Am I right or wrong? We need more of the fruit of God. He's saying, my passion for you is to have much fruit, but we have to learn how to abide in him, to live in him. I can do nothing without him. What can you do without him? Nothing. Do we really believe that? Well, no, I can go to work, I can produce on my own. We get so used to producing on our own, we forget it's a trust relationship with God. With him, I can do all things. Without him, I can do no things. I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to live in him. I'm going to dwell in him. So how do we do this, Pastor? You have the holy job. All you do is sit and pray every day and read your Bible. No, I'm just like you, full of anxiety if I let my mind go. I'm sharing this. I have permission from Natalie. She's serving today at in White Oak. And, you know, when she met Jesus, she tells the story all the time. She was filled with anxiety. She was filled with so many things in her life. And even after we got married, she was very negative. In the first probably couple years, I didn't do nothing to help that. I just made fun of it. I'm not saying I'm right, trust me. If you want a lesson on how to screw things up real quick, I can give you that lesson. Everything was negative. And so we had deep talks just over the last 2 weeks. I said, how did you get through that? And she said it was quoting the Word of God, it was setting her mind on God, and then it was help through other people. Do you know how we get free in our life? We need the Word of God. The Word of God changes us. But you got to start getting the word of God on behalf of you. If this is the only word you're getting ripped off. You're going to the store and getting a tomato, going home, you're eating it on Sunday afternoon, and then you're wondering why you have no fruit the rest of the week. You got to put seed in, you got to water it, you got to feed it, and you got to protect it. And I can't force you to have fruit, but I can help you produce it. Are you with me here? And she said, she goes, it was the word of God. And I know I'd come home and there'd be scriptures plastered on a refrigerator or the bathroom mirror. And she would just quote verses out loud all the time. She would just quote verses. She would, the word of God. She still does it. I said something, it was funny, negative yesterday. And she goes, take that back. The devil heard you. You need to say it positively. And I says, okay, I will do that. You know, I says, we're not going to get to where we're going if I don't do this. Come on. And but she was serious. She was like, no, you need to quote the right thing here. And I'm not making fun of her. She got it right. You know why? Because she's not that person anymore. And what you got to give up in your life, this is just the way God made you. Are you with me? This is not just how good as it gets. I'm going to wrap. I'm trying to go fast here. I really, really am. John 14. Jesus' words, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Most of us read this, we say, obey, you should obey, you will obey, you need to obey. Most of us are go right to obey. But as Jesus said, if you love me, if you agape me, if you have this relationship with me, then commandments are no problem. Let me ask you a question. If you love me, obey my commandments, which side of the comma are you living on? No, which side? Are you trying to obey your way into love, or are you loving him and allowing it to be in to the out? Which side of the comma are you on? I'm in an abiding relationship with him. We use this statement all the time, fall in love with Jesus. And I know as a man, it's like, what? I'm being honest. As a man, it's like, fall in love with Jesus. It's like, it just feels so effeminate. I'm being honest with you. I'm trying to speak to the men here. This is a rough one. But I want to fall in love with Jesus. So what does it mean? I need his presence in my life. So I need the word of God in my life. I have to have the word of God when I abide with him. The best part of every day of my life is when I get up in the morning and I sit with him. I'm trying to tell you, it's the best part of my day. This morning as I got up and I just sat with him and I thought about you and I thought about this time and I allowed him to move on my heart. I thought of something beautiful because I want his presence to change me. And without him, I'm nothing. Come on. I can't do this without him. Amen. I'm nothing without him. Unless he's here helping me, this is not happening. Come on. But it's the same way at work, whether I'm going to work here at the office and I'm taking care of financial things or I'm trying to help somebody or I'm just doing practical decisions. I can do nothing without him. I can't work on my house without him. I can't relate to my wife without him. I can't be the dad or I can't be the grandfather I need without him. I need his presence. I love his presence. And then I just need to praise. Listen, I am not going to stand around with a holy God being worshipped like this. I can't do it. People say all the time, well, I'm just not like you. I don't want you to be like me. But when a holy God is being worshipped, God help me if I'm standing here like this. I'm not going to do that. 150 chapters about the praise and the awesomeness and the creator of God. And I'm going to stand here like this? No way. I'm all in. Even when my circumstances are horrible. Even when I'm not living in the home I want to live in right now. And even when things aren't working out the way I think they should work out. And I don't know about the future. And I don't know this and I don't know that. I'm still going to worship him because he's a God worthy of praise. I'm going to be a guy who talks with him. And I pray. I don't talk at him. I talk with him. And I'm a guy who's in community because I need other people to help me protect the seed of God in my life. Are you with me? That's my best shot. And if we'll do this day in and day out and set our mind on God, he's about to give you much fruit. How many of y'all need some much fruit in your life right now? Come on, stand to your feet right now. Listen, y'all been great. Come on, you should give yourself a hand. Y'all have been really, really great. I'm so thankful. But this is what I want to do. I want to do this real quick. The worship team is prepared with a song. And I just want to right now, if you have any area of your life that you would like more fruit, more Holy Spirit fruit in your life, I want you to come out of your seats and make your way down here. We're going to practice what I just said. We're going to practice what I said. If you need any area of your life, self-control, kindness, meekness, faithfulness, love, joy, peace, all the way down. Come on. Like, if I can't get you to move here, I'll never get you to reach your friends and neighbors. Oh, my goodness. I'm already up front. I need all I can get. Come on down. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment. We're going to worship. We're just going to praise God. But we're not going to do it passively. We're going to do it actively. That's right. Move up. That's it. A lot of space over here. Come on. Space in the front. I will not. I'm good. Come on, man. Way to go. And we're just going to set our minds on God. And while you're worshiping up front here, somebody's going to probably come up behind you, and they're going to pray for you. You don't have to tell them what they're praying for. They're only going to touch, like we believe in laying on of hands, and that means just affirmation. So they're only going to touch your shoulder. That's all they're going to do. They're just going to pray for you right here like this. They're only going to touch your shoulder. They're just going to pray. So it might be one or two people come by during this song, and they're going to pray for you. They're just going to pray for you. Anybody else want in on this deal? It's a super good deal. Y'all, man, come on down if you want any of the fruit of the Spirit this week. And so we're going to worship God together. And then there's going to be people that are going to come and they're going to pray for you. But let's allow this time, just your prayer. Come on, let's just start right now. God, come on, just start right now. God, I'm here. God, I'm with you. God, I want to abide by you. There's a great group of people right here. They want to learn what it means to abide in you. There's a great group of people right here, God. They want the fruit of the Spirit. Come on up. Right here. So God, right now, come on, just lift up your hands. Come on, we're not going to be passive. We didn't come up front to be passive. Lord, we're here.